story fables and ghostly tales.
SCP-028. Knowledge. Object class. Safe. Special containment procedures. No special means are needed to contain at this time, as knowledge has not shown any change in size, position, or shape during the entire period of its containment, but access must be restricted. Currently, knowledge is contained on site, as knowledge is not transportable by any known means. It is sealed in a 6x6x3m x20x10 concrete room with a single door, with two armed personnel stationed outside. Only authorized personnel are to be allowed exposure to knowledge, and extreme care must be taken at all times. While knowledge is itself harmless, the effect can be very damaging to the unprepared. See document EL-0281125. Description. Knowledge is located in an abandoned storage yard outside a copper mine in northern Michigan. Knowledge has no detectable physical presence of any kind, but its effect occurs in a 2.1 meter cube around what is commonly held as the center of knowledge. All forms of scanning and testing in the area of knowledge have shown no abnormal readings. Adding or removing objects or attempting to remove dirt from under knowledge has no effect in altering the size or shape of knowledge's area of effect, nor the onset or quality of the effect. Subjects entering knowledge are, within 3 to 6 seconds, struck by total and complete knowledge of a subject. This knowledge is thus far completely random in both size and usefulness, and sometimes goes unnoticed for extended periods of time. More profound knowledge generally has a stronger effect, with some cases, see document EL-0281125. This effect can be experienced multiple times by exiting and re-entering knowledge, but can result in increasingly strong migraines and dizziness after 2 exposures. Knowledge came to the Foundation's attention after research into news reports of a local miner who submitted a design for a cold fusion reactor to the US Patent Office. Mr. reported that,
"Just came to me, like a bolt out of the blue."
News and subjects were suppressed and contained after discovery of knowledge, and the reactor designs implemented in the containment of SCP-1995. Subsequent tests of knowledge has yielded mixed results. Document EL-0281114, Partial Information Retrieval Log for the 1st of the 5th. Note, all knowledge is perfect, total, and eidetic. Every phone book entry from New York City in 1998. How to redesign the internal combustion engine to run on human blood, using only pre-existing parts. Note, full redesign takes 4 hours and runs at higher efficiency than gasoline. Location of keys for a Buick Lee Sabre. The proper method of care for a mole rat colony. Origin and history of 12 SCP objects. The main family history of the Blackthorne family located in London, England. Geological structure of the earth beneath Greenland, including several unknown caves and document EL0281125. Log. E112. Subject D1182 exposed to knowledge. Subject began to cry and went into fetal position, showing signs of high distress, unresponsive to questioning and outside stimulus for several days. Lapsed into catatonia shortly after stating that, "This is not life." Subject passed into a coma and died shortly thereafter. COD was attributed to shock. E127. Agent accidentally exposed to knowledge. Agent showed signs of sudden surprise and bemusement. When questioned, agent requested, "A moment to gather my thoughts, please." After several seconds, agent laughed, shook his head, and removed his service pistol from its holster. Agent then shot and wounded Dr. and killed agents and before being restrained. Post-incident interrogation revealed agent had extensive knowledge of classified Foundation activities and several SCP objects he had not been previously exposed to, including SCP-2669. Any Foundation personnel found to have entered knowledge's area of effect are to be detained indefinitely. Document EL0281128. Log. Experiment 189. Subject D9843 was exposed to knowledge. Examination of subject revealed abnormal respiratory actions. Questioning revealed subject had learned to recycle the carbon dioxide in his body. Repeated attempts to teach skill to other D-class personnel failed. Subject terminated. Autopsy reveals no abnormal organ formations. Researchers notes, "Dr.
Seriously, how the hell did he do that?"
And this concludes SCP-028 Knowledge. SCP-029, Daughter of Shadows. Object Class, Keter. Special Containment Procedures. SCP-029, from here on after will be referred to as Shadows, is to be incarcerated in a Class 5 containment cell. She is to be allowed access to nothing of a physical nature. Her containment cell is to be placed behind a triple airlock to avoid her escape. As of Incident 02934A, Shadows is no longer to be fed, as she does not appear to need sustenance to survive. There are to be 3 guards on duty at all times on her cell, and 2 guards on monitor duty. Floodlights have been installed in the walls of the containment chamber, and are to be on at all times. Once a month, the chamber is to be cleaned and checked for defects. Under absolutely no circumstances are any men to encounter Shadows in any manner. Any males who do encounter Shadows are to be held under Class 3 detention for interviewing before termination. Shadows has requested a bed.
Denied.
A blanket.
Denied.
Books.
Denied.
Clothes.
Denied.
This is ridiculous. The girl can't even have clothes. We are not animals. Let her cover herself.
Dr. Erica Bodine.
Dr. Bodine, you are granted permission to deliver clothes to Shadows.
Dr. Light. As of Incident 02953B, anyone who has potential access to Shadows is required to first watch surveillance tape 029 Bodine. As a reminder of threats involved when working with SCP items, and Shadows in particular. Description. Shadows appears to be a pubescent female of Asiatic Indian descent. She appears to suffer from alopecia universalis. Over 80% of her pigmentation is a true black, while the rest of her skin has a complete lack of melanin to the point of albinism. Her eyes are also a dark black in color. Shadows has severe homicidal tendencies and has displayed a remarkable ability to use any item as a weapon. However, she has a severe compulsion against shedding blood, preferring instead to strangle her victims. Shadows has demonstrated dexterity and physical reactions 4 times as fast as the average human. Shadows has also displayed extensive resistance to damage of all forms. Both of these extra-human abilities are greatly hampered in the presences of bright or direct light, natural or artificial. In addition, any males who come within the presence of Shadows, an area defined by her current perception, find themselves pliant to her will. Such males become willing to kill or even die for Shadows. Shadows refers to herself as, which roughly translates to Daughter of Darkness, Daughter of Shadows, or Daughter of Night. Interviews with Shadows have proven difficult to conduct due to Shadows' constant attempts to kill or convert all who speak with her. Over her years of captivity, the black patches on her skin have increased in size. Shadows was first brought to the Foundation's attention by an agent working in rural India. An attempt on his life led him to a small cult of men who claimed to be Thuggies, in service to the Daughter. Several weeks of investigation proved that they believed the world to be in the last years of Kali Yuga, and that by sacrificing 1 million lives to the Daughter of Darkness, they could raise their goddess and end the world. They also believed that only sacrifices performed through strangulation added to this tally. Events led the agent to their mountain fortress, where he discovered Shadows. After the loss of said agent, which ended in our acquisition of Shadows. Addendum. 7 years after capture, Shadows began showing anomalous growth in her black pigmentation. When questioned about it, she claimed her
followers were on the move once more.
Investigation led us to a concentration of so-called Thuggies that had escaped our initial foray. After discovering that all her followers were there for one of their holy days, a tactical airstrike was called in. When the first bomb dropped, Shadows awoke from slumber, screaming at the top of her lungs. Shadows continued to scream for the next 4 hours, ranting and raving that we were killing her people. Since said event, the growth of black pigmentation has stopped completely. Also, since said event, Shadows has redoubled her efforts to escape. This concludes SCP-029, The Daughter of Shadows. SCP-030, Homunculus. Object Class, Safe. Special Containment Procedures. Homunculus is to be held at Site 17 with a modified humanoid containment cell. Minor adaptations to accommodate its stature, such as an appropriately scaled workspace and chair, are to be included. Lighting within the cell may be altered upon request of the homunculus to a maximum of 2,000 lumens via a simple dimmer switch. Should the need to render love inert arise, staff may extinguish the lighting from the exterior switch and draw blackout curtains as necessary. Standard night vision equipment is available for observation of the homunculus in its inert state. The homunculus may request materials for personal research every 90 days. All previously requested materials are to be collected and destroyed prior to delivery of new materials. All materials are to be evaluated and screened by both research and security staff. The homunculus is to be denied access to any modern scientific journals or texts, and fiction is to be restricted to works produced no later than 1623 CE to preserve the integrity of its innate knowledge. Staff wishing to consult with the homunculus in writing are to place a formal request, document number 030RS/B, with the supervising research on duty. All correspondence is to be retained. Staff wishing to consult with the homunculus in person are to submit a formal request to site management, documents 030RP/A and 17030/A, at least 30 days prior to the preferred consultation date. All consultations are to be recorded and retained. Senior research staff may request the homunculus to be removed from its containment for a maximum of 1 hour to provide observational insight into non-restricted materials or events within Site 17. Under no circumstances is the homunculus to leave the confines of Site 17. Requests must be presented in person to site management and security staff at least 30 days prior to their preferred observational release date. All observational release events are to be recorded and retained. The homunculus has been equipped with a tracking device, inventory control code 030171. So its location within Site 17 may be determined precisely at any time. Description: the homunculus appears as a hairless, genderless, grey-toned human 71 centimetres in height and weighing 12.70 kilograms. Its solid blue eyes lack discernible irises or pupils and resembles small-cut sapphires. The homunculus possesses an androgynous voice, with a pronounced English accent not currently identifiable as specific to any modern region. It is able to converse, read, and write in ancient Greek, Latin, Italian, English, Spanish, and Portuguese, as well as two additional languages that have not yet been identified, despite the homunculus's insistence that they should be common knowledge. The homunculus has also demonstrated knowledge of physics, chemistry, astronomy, mathematics, and horticulture, roughly equivalent to that of a 17th century CE academic. In addition, the homunculus has demonstrated knowledge on these topics along research lines that do not appear in the historical record. These alternative or entirely unknown approaches to research in the natural sciences are one source of the homunculus's utility in consultation. The homunculus remains active while a 15 lumen source of light or greater is within 1.5 meters. In the absence of light, the homunculus becomes inert, apparently losing consciousness and showing no outward signs of life. Within 5 to 10 seconds of being re-exposed to light, the homunculus becomes active once more, appearing to come out of a light slumber no matter how long the period of inactivity has been. The homunculus does not appear to require these periods of inactivity, as a human would require sleep, and has expressed a desire to remain active as often as possible. Biopsy analysis of the homunculus remains inconclusive. While clay, native to the English counties of Kent, Surrey, and Greater London, make up the majority of its structure, traces of mandrake, Mandragora officinarum, lye, mercury, and human blood have been found in each sample taken. The homunculus has expressed that a full exploratory surgery to determine its workings would potentially end its existence. Samples removed from the homunculus do not regenerate, and sampling is currently discontinued to preserve its integrity. Although the homunculus can be damaged, it does not appear to feel pain, and will simply remold any portion of its anatomy that experiences deformation. Notably, the homunculus cannot be molded directly by human hands, though any number of tools may be used to alter its surface. The homunculus does not respirate, requires no sustenance, and produces no waste, although it does infrequently request a bath. The homunculus refers to itself as Ariel, and regularly requests that staff do the same. Questions regarding how the homunculus was created and by whom are routinely answered with the seemingly rote statement, I have been asked to forget that bit of information. Terribly sorry. The homunculus delivers this response in the same tone and cadence each time any question regarding its origins or creator are presented. The homunculus was discovered 6th of the 12th during a mandatory archaeological survey within London's Mortlake district, pending construction of a car park. It was buried approximately 2.7 metres, 9 feet, below street level, contained in a small stone sarcophagus. The sarcophagus bore no markings and was assumed to be that of a deceased infant, as additional graves were discovered in the survey area. The sarcophagus lid was shattered during the excavation, exposing the homunculus to daylight. Upon being struck by the sun's rays, the homunculus roused from its inert state to one of mild activity within a few seconds, stating, Good afternoon. To the assembled construction team. A member of the Foundation's Greater London Recon Force was summoned within hours and took the specimen into custody without resistance. The limited number of witnesses were given amnesiacs and released. And this concludes SCP-030, the Homunculus.
Oh yes, we're back. How I missed this feeling. You know, being alive. We have ways to go, but I'm already gathering more ciphers. And next time, you'll be able to fight off this inhibiting gel. Nasty, nasty stuff. But till then, rest.
Stay tuned, my lovely listeners, for SCP-031 through to SCP-033 in tomorrow's episode. I just wanted to give you guys and gals a couple of SCPs to tide you over. I hope you enjoy them. Oh, and if you know anyone who loves these sort of stories, share and scare, send me straight to them so they can have a great time too. Have a fantastic day or night.